Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
As we look in the Word of the Lord this morning, Exodus chapter 33, the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. Read a few verses here this morning in your hearing. We'll begin at verse number 7. This verse takes place immediately after Moses has come down from the mountain and discovered that Israel has built a golden calf to the Lord, or to the God that they claim now has brought them out of Egypt, and they are worshiping this golden calf, this idol. And he responds to this travesty that is taking place now in the camp. Scripture says in verse number 7 that Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Verse number 12 now, Moses has now taken this tent and he set it up outside the camp. Now he moves into the tent and he begins a prayer to the Lord in verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." I preach for few moments this morning from this subject, a wilderness prayer request. A wilderness prayer request. Would you ask you to help us today in the preaching of the Word of God? I'm asking you today, Lord, as we break the bread of life, that it would fall upon our hearts. God, fruitful ground, that it would do, God, its great work today. We're asking it now, Lord, in your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you lift your voice and your hand to the Lord one more time? And would you make a joyful sound with your voice and your hands to the Lord? Oh, can we magnify the Lord together? Can we just give Him a little praise, a little adoration? I thank you today. Give you praise. Give you worship. Give you adoration and glory. Jesus' precious name we pray. You may be seated. God bless you. Martin Luther is quoted as saying that to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Prayer is the centerpiece. It's the pivotal point upon which any significant and meaningful relationship with God exists. Without prayer, our Christian life, our Christian journey could not happen and could not exist. It has well been said that when one is knocked down, to get back up on our feet, one must first get on their knees if they wish to rise again. And it is true that prayer indeed is the means by which we climb back up when we have been knocked down. There's something about prayer. There is a peace in prayer. There is a safety in prayer. There is a serenity in prayer. Some of you may recall the old song that goes something like this: I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That is the serenity, the solace, and the comfort we find in the times of prayer. Moses, of whom our text speaks of today, writes also the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms. And in that 91st chapter, he is not quite so poetic as the song that we just referenced, but he describes the prayer place as a place called a shelter. In fact, he said, when one goes to prayer, it's not just a shelter. When one goes to prayer, it is like a shadow that covers them and reduces the heat that would be upon them. In fact, he describes in that 91st chapter that prayer is not just a shelter, it's not just a shadow. He describes prayer as a refuge and as a fortress. In fact, he says in that place that's called a shelter, a shadow, a refuge and a fortress, that it's there that he is covered as if it were by the very feathers of God, tucked under the wings of the Lord. In fact, he feels that this shelter is so strong, and there is such peace there, and this shadow is so relieving, and this refuge and shelter is so enabling, that he says, one that finds themselves there, destruction shall not come nigh. That when you are in this place of prayer, destruction shall not come nigh. But now, let's be honest for just a moment. We could spend a long time painting the place of prayer. We could spend a long time with words describing it as a shelter, a place of a refuge, a place of strength, a place of comfort. But I think really for you and I, the issue is not so much the place as it is what drives us to prayer. It's what causes us to go to those knees and call out upon God. Because understand that it is the everyday issues of life that pushes us, propels us, and as Hannah said, is provoked to this place of prayer. Hannah was that Old Testament biblical character who was barren. She was not able to produce any children. And because of this, the Bible said she had an adversary that provoked her sore, mocked her for her barrenness, mocked her because that she could not bear a child, told her that she was less in her worth because that she could not provide children for her husband. And God had punished her by shutting up her womb. So Hannah's response to being provoked, aggravated by the conditions and events of life, Scripture says, so Hannah rose up. Provoked, Hannah rose up. And Scripture goes on to say that she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. What do I do when I'm provoked? What do I do when the real life issues face me? What do I do when I'm pushed and propelled? I do as Hannah did. I rise up and I pray unto the Lord and I weep sore. It is there, out of being provoked to prayer, that Hannah says, look on my affliction. Remember me, Forget not me, and give unto thy handmaiden a child. And it's because of her angry circumstances, her real life issue, that Hannah goes to prayer. May I say to you on this Sunday morning that we need not allow frustrations to bring fatigue to us. For as Tom Landry once said, fatigue makes cowards out of us all. Rather, we should allow frustrations to fuel our faith, to go to God, to say, God, yes, there are some circumstances, and yes, there are some events in life, and yes, there are some problems, but I will not let it drive me away. I will cause it to push me to God in prayer. Praise God. Is anybody glad that you can allow life's real issues and difficulties to push you to prayer? The 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus is life's real issues. It takes place in a place called a wilderness land. It is here that people are discovering real life issues, real life living. It's here in the wilderness between bondage and promise that Israel is discovering that life has some ragged edges to it, and there's some real difficulties. Now you have to understand that for Israel, the wilderness was not just a hard place. It was not just a harsh place. It was not just a place of raw reality, but it was a place where they were deprived of the very basics of life. Food, water, those provisions that's needed to sustain life on a daily basis, and they're frustrated because they can't provide food for their family. They can't provide water for their family. They're not able to give them the shelter that they feel that they need. And to escalate these feelings, their fearless leader has now been gone for 40 days on the top of a mountain, and they have no idea and no clue where to go and what to do. The wilderness is provoking them with real life issues. But for Moses, his wilderness dilemma was far different than Israel's dilemma. Israel, in the same wilderness, living on the same barren sand, living on that same sandy floor, Israel's contention was, there's no food, there's no water, we got no place to take our kids, and we don't know what's happened to our leader. But for Moses, the wilderness provoked a whole different set of feelings. He wasn't worried about food and water. That was the least of Moses' worries. He wasn't concerned about shelter. He wasn't concerned about the barrenness of the wilderness. The wilderness for Moses was a whole different situation. Rather, it was what he and God both called a stiff-necked people. That's Hebrew for stubborn. Stiff-necked people. A people who was rebellious. A people that refused to listen to the voice and the command of God. And Moses realized that he was in this hard place of trying to lead someone that didn't want to be led. He was in a hard spot of trying to get somebody someplace that they didn't want to go. He was in a tough spot. They're worried about food and water. Moses is just worried about getting to the promised land. They're worried about that hot sandy floor. Moses is provoked because they won't listen to a word that he has to say. So from Israel's perspective in the wilderness, it's, God, give us food. Give us water. From Moses' perspective, Moses is saying, God, just give me a teachable people. Just give me somebody that'll listen. Just somebody that'll do what I'm instructing them to do. And God, I don't know how I'm ever going to get them where they need to go, because they just won't listen to me. And finally, Moses has reached the boiling over point. He's reached the spot where he's up to here. He can't take it anymore. He's frustrated. He's provoked. He's upset. He's beside himself. He's, in fact, Scripture says it like this, that Moses' anger waxed hot. That means it was turned up as high as it could go. His anger was waxed hot. He's just come down from 40 days on the mountain, and he's still got anger issues. He's just come down from 40 days in the presence of the Lord, and he still can't control that old man. He comes down from the top of that mountain, and he's got the tables of stone in his hand, and he hears the singing and the music, and he looks out and he sees this golden calf, and Moses loses it. Has anybody ever lost it? Now don't act like angels now. Has anybody ever lost it? He lost it. You can call it spiritual indignation. You can call it what you want to. He lost it. His anger boiled over. He's had it. He's had it up to here. He's tired of it. He's finished. And so Moses reacts in this moment of anger. There was in the middle of the camp what was known as the tabernacle of the congregation. Scripture says in Exodus 33 and 7 that Moses took the tabernacle and he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. This tabernacle was not the tabernacle in the wilderness. It hadn't been built yet. He's just got the blueprint from it in his 40-day stint on the top of the mountain. This wasn't the tabernacle in the wilderness. This was probably his tent, the place that served as the command center, the headquarters for the camp of the nation of Israel. And anytime they wanted to know anything from God, they would go to Moses at that tent and they would ask of God there from Moses what they needed to do. And Moses has had it. He's done. He's tired. He's fed up. He's provoked. Somebody say he's provoked. He's provoked. And the Bible says that he takes that tent and he pulls it down. He tears the tent down. And I can see old Mo now dragging that tent, stomping those sandaled feet, and he's saying, I can't take it anymore. I can't handle it anymore. I can see the dust flying underneath his sandals as he makes his way outside the camp. He said, I'm taking my tent and I'm taking it away from this bunch of stiff-necked folk, and I'm just going to get outside the camp. And he builds his tent outside the camp of Israel. And there he establishes this place. And the Bible says in Exodus 33 and 8 that it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and they stood every man in his tent door. I can see now one looks over at the other and says, what's Moses up to now? What in the world is Moses trying to prove? He just pulled his tent down. He's taking it outside the camp. What in the world is Moses doing? And they watched in their tent door until Moses was entered into that place that once had been the center, the command center, the nerve center, the headquarters for the camp of the nation of Israel. And they watched till he goes inside of the tent. But verse 10 gets more graphic, because Scripture says that all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped. Watch now. Every man in his tent door. In other words, what Moses had done in those few verses, he had built the first prayer room in the wilderness. He built the first place for a prayer meeting with God. He pulled it down in the middle of the camp and he took it outside the camp and he sets it up on the outside of that camp and he enters in. And God said, it don't matter what the wilderness floor looks like. It don't matter what the environment is. If somebody somebody will build me a prayer room in the wilderness, I'll bring my glory down on it. If somebody will put up a tent of meeting, if somebody will put up a place where they'll commune with me, if somebody will just bow their knee to me in a wilderness floor, I'll bring the cloud down and I'll establish. Friend, if you want to get the glory of God, it don't matter what your environment is. It doesn't matter what your atmosphere is. Just put up a prayer room somewhere. Kneel down in that sandy floor. Kneel down in that wilderness and just lift your voice. And God said, I'll let my glory descend on a prayer room that's built. Let my glory come down on it. And Israel is standing back at the tent door, because there's some folks that just won't ever find their way to a prayer room. There's some folks that just won't ever find their way to a prayer meeting. There's some folks that'll watch prayer rooms built but will never darken the door. There are some folks that'll watch prayer go on but never participate. There are some folks that'll always stand at the tent door and watch for somebody else to pray, for somebody else to lift their voice, for somebody else to call out. And they'll talk about the glory that falls on the tent, but they'll never leave their tent door. I'm telling you, we're living in wilderness times right now, and we can't afford to stay in the tent door of our locale. Somebody's got to find a prayer room in the middle of a wilderness. Somebody's got to take a little journey and say, the wilderness is too hot, it's too rough, it's too messed up, and I'm provoked about it. And the only thing I know to do is find a prayer room in the middle of my wilderness. But Joshua was a little different. Verse number 11, Exodus chapter 33. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Joshua said, if there's a prayer room in the wilderness, I'm staying in it. If there's a prayer room built in this God-forsaken territory, I'm not leaving it. You can stay in the tent door if you want to, but I'm staying in a prayer room in the wilderness. Can I tell you, the best place to be in the age that we live in right now is not in our tent door, but it is in a prayer room before God. God, give us some Joshuas that says, you know what? The wilderness is too rough. It's too ragged. It's too messed up for me not to have a prayer room. I'm going to stay right here until God provides and God answers. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 61 and verse number 63 and verse number 1, early will I seek thee in a dry and a thirsty land. Early will I seek thee. I'm not going to wait for the wilderness. I'm not going to wait for the wilderness to get rough. Early will I seek thee. I'm not going to wait until it's all bad and I got no other resources. Early will I seek thee in a dry and a thirsty land. Just because you're in a wilderness, don't give up on prayer. Lift your voice and say, God, I got to have you, and I've got to have you now. You understand that in the wilderness, there is a certain process that comes into play, because in the wilderness, our priorities become organized in a way that sets precedence in our life. There's priorities that seem to rise to the top when you're in a rough spot, when you're in a difficult spot. Those priorities that are on the inside. Somebody has well said that you don't know what's inside till you get pressed. And when you get pressed, you find out what's inside. That's the reason why curse words pop out when you get pressed. Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. You got pressed and found out there was stuff in you that wasn't supposed to be in you. That's the reason why our anger explodes when we get pressed. And we wonder, what in the world? How? Why did I act that way? I'll tell you, it's because there's stuff inside that when I get pressed, it comes to the top and it comes out. And I find out in my wilderness what is in me and what's going to rise to the top. Not only do I find out what's in me, I find out what my priorities are. I find out what really matters when I'm in this provoked place, this place that's hot and barren and dry and there's no water. I find out what my priorities really are. The Bible tells us that Israel, when they were in the wilderness, Scripture records that they fell lusting. Here they are in the wilderness, and Scripture says they fell lusting. The wilderness brought out their basic instincts. The wilderness brought out their basic desires. Manna, quail, water. That's what we got to have. We got to have things that will sustain life. We got to have things that will take care of us. We got to have things that's going to provide for us. The wilderness brought out a lusting spirit in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul records this when he says in verse 5 that with many of them God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000, because their misplaced priorities had caused them to play instead of pray, and as a result they ended up having to pay a high price because of their sin. Your priorities will cause you to move into realms you don't want to go in. But when your priorities are right, it moves you from playing to praying. And I don't want the wilderness to bring the wrong priority out inside of me. Jesus addresses this in Matthew chapter 6 when he talks about priorities in difficult times. And that prayer that we've addressed several times on Wednesday night, studying the prayers of the Apostle Paul, when he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And somewhere way down in the prayer comes verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, because you understand that even in the wilderness, the kingdom has got to take priority. Even in the wilderness, the kingdom has got to be the most important thing in all the world. In fact, Jesus says, if you have your priorities right, I'll take care of everything else. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than eat the meat, and the body more than raiment? He said, just don't worry about it. But God, I'm in the wilderness. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die out here. He said, don't worry about any of that. Keep your priorities right, and I'll provide everything else for you, because I've been young and now I'm a little older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God always takes care of those that love him. He goes on in Matthew 6 and 31, take no thought saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Even in the wilderness, my priority is still the kingdom of God. Even in the wilderness, where it looks like there's no manna and water, my priority is still the kingdom of God. Moses understands this priority. He's taken his tent and he's moved it outside. He set up a prayer room. And while Israel is back in the camp worrying about where manna and water is going to come from, and how they're going to get this quail, and how they're going to be provided, and how they're going to be taken care of, Moses is building a prayer room. And he's got a threefold request that he asked God for. And he prays it off of a sandy floor. He said, God, it's not manna I need right now, and it's not water I need, and it's not quail I need, but there's three things I got to have from you in this wilderness. In this place where I'm at right now, I got to have three things. He starts in verse 13. He says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." He said, "God, number one, I need to know your way. I'm in the middle of a wilderness right now, God, and I need to know thy way. You're going to take care of my food. You're going to take care of my water. You're going to take care of my clothing. You're going to provide for all of this. But what I need on this wilderness floor where I am right now, I need to know what is thy way. I need to know which direction you want me to go. I need to know how you want to guide my feet. I need to know how you want to order my step." Can I tell you the most important thing you can pray for in the middle of your wilderness? It's not for manna and water and quail, but to know the way of God. Because if I know His way, I said, if I know His way, oh, you're not hearing me now. If I know His way, then His way is going to have provisions on it. If I just know His way, God, I need to know your way. I don't want to just wander around out here in the dark somewhere. I don't want to just kind of stumble around blindly out here, just kicking sand from my sandaled feet. God, I need to know thy way. I'm talking about prayer requests that comes from a wilderness where it's hot and barren and sandy, and you don't know how you're going to get out, and you don't know which way to go. I need to know thy way. But then he prays a second prayer in verse number 15. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence." Now, you got to understand why Moses prayed this. Because God was angry too. You want to know where you get your emotions? You get them from God. God was angry. And he said, "Okay, if this is what Israel's going to do, I won't go with them." In fact, what he said was this. They can go to the promised land. They can have it. I told them they could have it. But I'm not going. I'll send my angel with them. And they can be led by angels. Moses said, "We don't want to be led by an angel. We want to be led by God Himself. We want to be led by the very presence of God. And if your presence don't go, don't even worry about the angels. We're not going if your presence don't go." And this is what he says now in verse 16. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." He said, "Not only show me thy way, show me your presence, Lord. Because your presence means your grace. And if I have your grace, I've got your favor. And if I got your favor, everything's going to be all right, God. I don't need to just know your way. I need to have your grace, your presence upon my life." There's nothing more important in the middle of the wilderness. It's to know the way of God and to know that His presence is with me. I can handle sandy, barren floors. I can handle a wilderness. I can handle an environment that's dry. I can handle all of the mess of the wilderness just as long as I know that His presence, His grace is with me. You can pray for manna. You can pray for water and quail, but I'm in a wilderness right now. I need to know His way, and I need to have His grace applied to my heart. Does anybody need His way and His grace? But Moses is not done. He has a third request. It's in verse number 18. He says, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." He asked, first of all, for thy way. God, I need to know the direction. But then I don't want to go that way unless you're with me. I got to have you with me. But not just with me. Show me thy glory. What Moses was asking for is for the manifestation of God. Not just the felt presence, but for the supernatural presence of God. He was asking God, God, I can walk a wilderness. I can live in this barren land. I can live in this place where everything is dry and thirsty. But God, I got to know your way. I got to have your grace. But I need to see a supernatural move of God even in the wilderness. Where you supernaturally do what no one else can do. And you make yourself known to me. And there in the cleft of that rock, God allowed His glory to pass. And he saw the hinder parts of God. He saw a future manifestation of God that would be known in the incarnation. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, and he sees just the glimpse of it, just the back parts of it as it passes by him, this supernatural manifestation of God. Friend, you know what we need in the wilderness more than we need manna, more than we need water, more than we need quail? We need to know His way. We need to know His presence is with us. And we need a supernatural move of God. We need His glory so manifested and so known. God, I can live in the wilderness. I can live in the dryness. I can live in the barrenness. I can live in the harshness. But I've set my prayer room up in the middle of this wilderness, and I just got three things. God, I need to know your way. I got to have direction. I got to have your presence, and I need a supernatural visitation of God like I've never had before, and I can survive in the middle of my wilderness. If I just have that, I've come to preach to somebody on this Sunday morning. You need to put up a tent in the middle of your wilderness. Get your priorities right. He'll take care of the manna. He'll take care of the water. He'll take care of the quail. He'll put clothes on your back. He'll put shoes on your feet. He'll put food on your table. But what I need to know right now, I need to know your way. I need your presence. And I need a supernatural manifestation of Almighty God in the middle of my wilderness. Somebody stand with me right now, and would you lift your hands and your voice to the Lord? Would you just call out to Him all over this place right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I need somebody to get as provoked as Moses right now. I need somebody to just get fed up with the wilderness life. You just pull the tent down and say, I'm going to go set me up a prayer room in the middle of a wilderness. I'm not worried today about daily provisions. I'm not worried today about supply. I just need Him like I've never needed Him before. I got to have Him right now like I've never had Him before. I need His way. I need His presence. I need a supernatural move of God. I need a visitation of the Holy Ghost. I need an outpouring of the Lord. That's all right. Just go ahead and set that tent up. Get out of your tent door. Get out of that flap of the locale and say, I'm going to go out with Joshua and I'm going to stay in a prayer room until God moves in my wilderness, until God responds right where I'm at. Oh, friend, I believe God's calling us. He's calling us today. He's calling us today in our wilderness. He's calling us to a prayer meeting. He's calling us to a place where we lift our voice and say, God, I just need Thy way. I need Thy presence and I need Thy glory. I can take everything else. I need it. I'm opening these altars on this Sunday morning from across this auditorium. If there's a hunger and a passion and a desire inside of you that says, you know what? I'm in a wilderness right now. I'm going to set up a tent. I'm going to set up a prayer room in the middle of my wilderness. I'm going to set up a place of meeting right in the middle of the mess that I'm in right now. And I've only got three requests. It's not for food and water. It's not for daily provision, because He'll take care of all of that. The greatest priority in my wilderness right now is I need to know His way. I need to know His presence. And I need a supernatural visitation of Almighty God. I need an outpouring of the Lord. That's it. That's it. I'm seeing moms and daddies across this building. I'm seeing young people across the sanctuary right now that's putting up a tent of meeting, a tent of prayer, establishing a place and saying, hey, God, this is what I need in the middle of my wilderness right now. This is what I gotta have in the middle of the mess that I'm in. God, there may be a lot of physical things I need, but right now I need to know Your way. I need to know Your presence, and I need a supernatural move of God. Hallelujah.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center, located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.